Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
O hearth of firelight, hearth of ash, hearth of tinder, hearth of match, hearth of song and chamber to the laugh, hearth of propped feet and hearth of dog, spilt pint scrubbed down witness to the cheer, oak warped brass gleaming hearthside of the mind, warm us thence, the twain we meet beside thee, in the moon underwater. Robin, did you hear the chimes?
Not again. Not much bloody chimes, yeah.
Well, different chimes this week, because what the townsfolk... We don't often get a chance to mention the townsfolk of the correct realm.
No. I don't believe they've been mentioned at all, really, have they?
Well, sometimes they contribute to various fetes and festivities.
Yeah.
But the townsfolk of the correct realm all seem to have just quite traditional jobs, e.g. coopers, blacksmiths, basket makers, weavers, milliners,
and they sort of they do have that. That is their surname as well.
Yeah. All their surnames are their job. Bumped into Ian Optician the other day, actually. But they created this fantastic sort of. It's the full length of the high street. This xylophone made out of cans.
Okay.
And obviously, each can has a different amount of beer in it.
Right.
So it creates a different tone.
Yeah.
And there was, well, there was Paul Xylophonist, there was Tim Xylophonist, Linda Xylophonist.
Yeah.
And Janice Xylophonist was there.
Big family, yeah.
Aubrey Xylophonist. And they're all playing the can xylophones out in the street.
That's great. Nominative determinism, really.
Yeah, and it was such a merry atmosphere.
I suppose nominative determinism was always going to be called that with a name like that, wasn't it?
Yes, good humour there.
Thank you.
But then I realised why they'd gone to such trouble. It's because they're such big fans of our guest this week.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, and I believe... Can you hear? They piped up a little bit louder now.
Yeah, the chiming is really kicking off.
Yeah, the enormous can xylophone is... is giving a sort of a royal, regal entrance to this week's guest as he comes into the moon underwater. It's Rhys Hughgill. Hello, Rhys.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
How are you doing? I hope the xylophonists weren't too sort of overpowering. They do like to really go for it.
It was like pompous, but there was some good harmonies going there. So,
Yeah.
There's worse ways to arrive.
There are much worse ways to arrive. That's why, I mean, we were once meant to have Piers Morgan come, but I'll tell you that. He'd have given all his possessions for a can xylophone, because what he was greeted with by the townsfolk was, they did not take to him. So he turned on his heels and went straight back into the other realm, and I dare say a few cries of good riddance went up. But not the case today. No, high praise and thanks for coming to the moon underwater. Reese, pull up a pew. Where's your favourite place to sit in a pub?
At the bar, end of the bar specifically. So I'm not getting away with any punters kind of elbowing me, shouldering me. I want to be sat at the end of the bar, just have a nice little beer, dipping into some nuts and scratchings, and just minding my own business.
Mm.
But equally, not taking up a whole table. I could be gone in 2 minutes. There's no kind of like reason for me to stay there. I'm just at the end of the bar. I'll say hello to the regulars and the bar staff, and then I can be gone.
In sort of the hinterland between the sort of the bar serving area and the glass collection point.
Yes. Preferably the other end of the bar to the glass collection point, so I don't accidentally drink the dregs of someone's blue wick.
So, Reese, you are owner-operator head brewer. Is that the right phrase?
Yes. I'm no longer sole employee. I used to say I'm the guy. But yeah, recently there's my friend Craig helps me with sales.
Of Don Zonko Brewery.
Don Zonko, which I guess, I don't think my accent is the right one to say a Japanese word in. But I say Don Zonko.
So what does Don Zonko mean?
It means like rock bottom. Or like loser. I thought it was pretty funny. And yeah, like start from the bottom, start one now, and then see where you end up. Like you can't get lower than the rock bottom. So
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it has other connotations with the sort of the world of alcohol consumption. it's a point at which you might then start to not drink from.
Yes. Or the point where you think, right, I might as well drink.
that's another way of looking at it. Yeah, different views. Please do drink responsibly. But Reese, tell us about your journey into basically setting up a brewery on your own.
So I was at university in Newcastle doing chemistry, and chemistry was pretty hard. I was studying over in, I did like a year and a half abroad in Munich, in Germany.
Ooh.
And I was working out there, and it was really hard. I was finishing work, meeting with my friends, usually like a place called the English Garden in Munich, which is like a big city center park with like a lazy river that runs through it, which is kind of man-made. It sounds made up, but you can jump in one end of the lazy river, float downstream for like a mile or so with a beer, obviously. And then you jump out, you have to catch a rope before you head to like, there's an artificial wave where there's loads of surfers, kind of like always surfing.
Yeah.
It's like one continuous wave that's created in the lazy river.
Wow.
So you have to avoid the surfers, clamber out, and then walk back up and start the lazy river again with a fresh beer. And I was thinking, I'm enjoying this a lot more than I'm enjoying working in the laboratory, this weird surfing lazy river situation.
Yeah. When you say float down, what are you floating on?
Just kind of flailing softly, I'd say.
So you're swimming?
Swimming, I'd say, yeah. But not actually swimming. The current is strong enough to carry you. So you kind of bob down.
Yeah. So you're just, it's like, so you're drinking while submerged.
Yeah.
Semi-submerged.
It's kind of less Titanic and more like nice little water park feature.
Nice. Okay, cool.
It sounds like the sort of chocolate river that runs through Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
I am a bit of a gloop myself, but that's
well,
the case.
They should turn it into like a beer river.
Mm.
So then you don't have to worry about holding your beer. You can just sort of swim down and get a lungful.
I mean, sounds disgusting, really, doesn't it? I mean, Willy Wonka himself was very, very, you know, his first issue with Augustus Gloop falling in is he's worried about it kind of infecting his chocolate supply. Says a lot about Willy.
Well, he was a trailblazer when it came to factory hygiene. That's the untold story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, health and safety regulations.
So tell us about Don Zonko, because you are a big fan of a big head.
Yes. And so, yes, I was enjoying these lovely beers and thinking, this is better than doing chemistry, brewing beer. It's just chemistry you can drink. And I kind of thought about what I liked about beer, what made it different than other drinks. And one thing is, like, you look at any cartoon of beer that's ever been drawn, any little, like, any portrayal of beer, and there's a lovely mounds of foam, like a rocky avalanche of foam on top of the pint, and it's like, it looks delicious, it looks great. And then moving back to the UK and kind of brewing my own beers and stuff, like, and looking at pints in the pub where everything is like to the brim of beer, and like, it doesn't look like the cartoons, it doesn't look like it does on TV, and you're thinking, like, we're missing something here. Why? What's that? The kind of disconnect from Germany, where there's lovely voluminous heads, and then back in the UK, where it's everything looks like woodpecker cider. So I kind of focused in on what makes foam foam, and how like fun and just nice it is as a substance. I think it's like the crown, it's the cherry on top of the cake, and it's underrated as a thing.
But, and you also wrote this brilliant article in Pellicle magazine online, great magazine about all things beer and pubs and brewing, and which was about banked beers, which is about a style of beer which is English, which is from the Northeast, which I hadn't really heard of until you wrote about it. But I mean, so tell us a bit about that. This is kind of started in Hartlepool, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's like a Northeastern thing that's based around the fact that there's a massive steelworks where everyone in the town works at the steelworks, including my dad, my granddad, his dad, everyone worked at the steelworks. And when the shift would change, everyone would go to the pub. So the pubs, to get ready, would kind of half pour everyone's pints. But if you half pour loads of pints, just regular pints, and leave them on the side, 20 minutes later, they're going to look pretty flat and pretty old. So what they did was they poured them with a massive head, half a pint with a huge, huge head. So when they topped it up, the pint would still have, all the men came through the door, there'd be like, I don't know, 50 people walking at the same time. You could pull out trays of pints that have just been topped up. But in the time the head is settled, it becomes stable and like dry. The proteins give the foam like structure. So the head, when you top it up, rises a good 3-4 inches outside the glass and creates this lovely like mound of like white foam.
It's like a souffle, isn't it?
It's exactly like a souffle. Without the cheese.
But that's not a million miles away from why Guinness Extra Cold was invented, because they would pre-pour the Guinness in pubs in Ireland, and obviously the temperature would go up, so they would have Guinness Extra Cold to top it up, then giving you the average temperature of a Guinness. It was never meant to be the abomination it is now.
Yeah, just cranking out a whole pint of cold, it's got frost on the sides, it burns your lips. But a lovely banked pint, like nowadays it's half poured and put in the fridge, so it does get a bit colder, but then topped up with fresh beer, it's just a nice temperature. It looks amazing. You get a full pint, but then still a huge amount of foam.
But what's the kind of geographical area of banked pints? Because my dad was from Darlington. I don't remember him talking about, but Darlington and Hartlepool is a bit of a rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm from Middlesbrough, and it still happens in some pubs in Middlesbrough. But I draw a line just under that. I'd say from Middlesbrough up to County Durham. The mining villages, like say like Hordon, the colliery villages, not as far as Newcastle. You don't get them in Newcastle, so it's kind of a very specific, like maybe like a 20-mile radius. And there's pubs that will serve the beer only that way. And I've seen people take the beer back if it's not served that way, which is like insane. Because when you show people these pints, the first reaction is like, "Do you want a flake with that?"
But it's just one of those things to embrace, really, because it's like those like regional traditions and customs are so interesting, aren't they? You know, we don't all want to drink beer that's exactly the same all over the country.
When they take like 5 minutes to pour a Guinness in Ireland, you're not going to complain and shout at them, because it's what they do, right? You don't want to. And so to come to a small pub, and a lot of these pubs are pretty, when you walk in them, everyone looks at you. I don't think people would complain anywhere, but I don't think it's right to do that in a place where it's like a cultural thing, which is dying out as well. There's not many pubs that still do it.
Yeah. But how has that informed your own brewing then? Has that kind of been something you've wanted to continue?
Yeah. So when I started from the rock bottom and built Don Zocco with a bit of money from university, I got like a grant. I started focusing on just making like those like small German producers make those like kind of like tasty, flavorful lagers that are kind of nothing like we get, usually small family breweries. brew those unfiltered characterful lagers, but make play up the like the big foamy. So I've got a beer, my kind of best selling beer is called Big Foam, which is like a hoppy rustic lager. I like kind of having that kind of heritage of my granddad drinking pints and getting foam all over your face. And then also like those delicious, crispy, like German style precision lagers, which I don't know, I just love so much. Like anyone can drink them. You could give that pint to your granddad and he can recognize it's a lager, but it's got a lot of flavor. It's like, yeah, that balance of refreshing and what you imagine a tasty like beer to be in your head when you really want a beer.
So tell us about the place that you think lager had in the craft beer industry and the place that you would like it to have, because I'm sort of guessing from what you're saying that the more you value lager, the more likely you are to like a head on it.
Yeah.
Because we drink so much lager in this country, but I sometimes get the impression we don't actually care that much about what lager it is. So
yeah,
quite often when I get around in, I'll say to someone, what do you drink? They say a lager and you're like, what one? And they're like, I don't really mind. And it always amazes me that lager drinkers don't have a favourite lager. And do you think that's because a lot of the lager sold in the UK is just completely homogenous?
Well, it's kind of a commodity. It's brewed with, often the times the contract brewed, like the big breweries, say like Carlsberg's of the world, at loads of different breweries around the country, or around the world even. And it's made to be as homogenous as possible. So it is always the same, whether you're drinking it in Carlisle or you're drinking it in Copenhagen, it's always going to be fairly similar. So that kind of lowest common denominator reads like it being a commodity, whereas in Franconia, like just outside Munich, the beer is kind of, it can be like, wonderful breweries can make some amazing like beer that blows my mind, and then the next time it'll be absolutely trash. So you get these peaks and valleys, but that's the price you pay for like it not being always taste like fizzy water. And I think when a lot of UK breweries, like craft breweries, started making lager to be like, yeah, we'll show them, and they kind of just brewed it because they had a tap room and they wanted to sell to those lager drinkers. So for a long time, even the craft lagers of the UK weren't amazing, but there's been almost like another wave of lager brewed in the UK from brewers like Lost and Grounded, Braybrook, Thornbridge, which make some delicious lagers, which have actual taste and character, and they're not just brewed because, oh, we need something to put in the tap room. We need something to please those lager drinkers or take a bit of that market. It's people who are really passionate about it, and that's what gets me excited when you talk to a brewer and he's like excited about the 4% Pilsner he's making. Because if you like a baker, if you're really good at making that like on a white loaf, you don't need to bother making the poppy seed baguettes because your white loaf is the stuff. And that's what the lager is. It's kind of the white bread.
A good test of a chef is his poached egg.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I love a poached egg.
Well, let's get creating your dream pub. First of all, you must have gone to an awful lot of pubs in your time. What sort of vibe are we talking? What kind of aesthetic?
Well, I've got a specific aesthetic in mind in the way that my pub, it's still going to be called a pub, but let's say it was a former workerman's club. Because in the northeast of England, we have a lot more workerman's clubs than the old school pubs. It's like the highest density in the whole country is in Durham. And I think they're amazing institutions, which are rapidly declining, especially after COVID. And they have a specific fluorescent aesthetic with wood paneling, like just cheap fixtures, kind of red seats, long tables, communal tables, maybe a couple of booths and many different rooms. But these workmen's clubs, I think with a tiny bit of a kind of inspiration, can be like wonderful places. And I want to get a kind of like original kind of 70s aesthetic.
Are we talking like that sort of specific luminous card cut into stars on the optics saying house doubles?
Sort of, yeah. I find that quite comforting.
I like it.
I mean, do you know the... I'm sure we've mentioned this many times, but the Broodnail Social Club in Leeds.
Yes, I think it's been there. One of the best venues in the country.
Yeah.
And also, like, one of my favourite places just to go for a drink.
Well, that's what's great about one of these old sort of social clubs, these working men's clubs, is you can treat them as a pub, but you could also have a birthday party there or a wedding or a wake. They've got dance floors, they've got stages.
It becomes a real part of the community, which everyone's involved in. It's democratic. Like, the committee members are voted for. They decide what happens to the club. And with the right direction, it can be anything. It's just a wonderful hub of community with history that you can go and have a couple of pints with your mates, meet new friends, take some friends, sign them in, for who are visiting, see great music, entertainers, like... And with the right direction, like, Broodnail has gone from being like a decent social club in like the Hyde Park area of Leeds to like they've brought Pavement, the 90s band, over. They're promoting their whole tour, which is crazy.
We should give a little plug for our former guest. Pete Brown wrote a book called Clubland, How the Working Men's Club Shaped Britain, which was released, I think, in June this year, so it's only just out, so do get hold of a copy of that.
I'm currently halfway through it, so please no spoilers.
Oh, brilliant.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So what are your first two draft options for this working men's club?
So I'm going to be a bit... beers that probably won't fit in the club, but I'm going to put them in anyway. I'm going to have the first draft option. Has to be a lager. And that's my favourite lager, which is Monk's Ambacker Lager Beer. It's a very long word.
Could you spell that, please?
It sounds like Monk's Sambuca, which sounds like quite an interesting, kind of could it be a cocktail.
You just do tiny
maybe.
Shots of it and it tastes like liquor.
Yeah.
It's Monk's Ambacker. To make it even more confusing, the brewery is called Brauereiser Hender. But it's a wonderful kind of weird, quaint place. Like, the bottles have a little monk on the front, like a clip arty monk with a cheeky grin and like a halo around his head, drinking a pint. It's very weird. But you drive into the brewery because it's in the middle of nowhere. You have to drive, and it's like a courtyard. It's all family run. So I think maybe the son is the brewer. The father helps out. The mother does the kitchen, and someone else in the family serves the beer. And it's pretty much all out of like small barrels, like wood barrels or plastic barrels. And you sit in the beer garden. There's like a kids play area made out of an old brew kit, which doesn't sound or see look very safe.
And so this is in, is this Munich then?
It's about an hour or so out of Munich, in Franconia.
Right.
And you drink from like pot steins, and the beer is like, oh my God, it comes from these barrels, and it's like soft. It's kind of sweet. It's got a good bitterness. It just tastes like the perfect lager. It's very heartening beer. Mm. It's kind of nourishing, but also crisp and clean. And you could drink a lot of it if you want.
Have you ever seen it in the UK?
Yes, but with a lot of these breweries, their packaging, small bottles and cans, it leaves a lot to be desired. So the beer that arrives in the UK is not what the beer they serve. It's maybe degraded over a few weeks, but fresh on draft, it is the best beer I've ever had in my life. So I think transporting that tenderly somehow to, with no carbon footprint, in these barrels to the pub, the Workerman's Club, I think would be great.
It's got quite a short best before date when it comes in the bottle, so I am told, but it looks amazing on draft. The Monkschambacher Lager beer from Brauerei Zehender is 5.5%.
It's boozy.
It's boozy, but it looks fantastic. I love the little clip art monk on the front. But you're right in that you could look at it and think that looks quite bad.
Yeah. What is quite interesting about the brewery, they've got like a family of storks that live, and people come just to look at the storks that live above the, they've got a big nest on top of the brewery.
Wow.
Once again, it sounds made up, but it is real.
So that's your first draft. What's your second one?
My second draft is a beer that's not seen outside of kind of the Northeast, and that's John Smith's Magnet.
Ooh. Tell me about that.
So there's all these big brands have brew beers specifically for workermen's clubs.
Right.
In Hartlepool at Cameron's Brewery. They're kind of legacy brands that have died off everywhere else in the country, but they brew them just for these high volume, massive workermen's clubs. So John Smith's Magnet is like a beer that tastes like the color brown. it's like kind of comforting, like sweet, like it tastes like an autumn day. It's kind of the sort of beer your dad would put hairs on your chest.
Mm.
Like kind of brown bread crusts. It's kind of a licorice-y note that's really kind of prominent. And it's always served by metered dispense. So the beer is in kegs, but it comes out by the push of a button. So you press the button once, half a pint gets squirted out through like a nozzle, like a sparkler, into your glass. You press it twice and a full pint comes out.
Wow.
But the pint glasses are oversized by about, I think, about 70 mil. So you get a massive head, but the beer is served exactly as a pint.
So is this different to John Smith's original, which you can get in cans in some shops?
It's night and day. It's like they kept all of their brewing knowledge, expertise for Magnet. Original tastes like carpet wart.
It's not even on their website.
Yeah, it's weird. I was trying to research it when I was writing the article about Bankers, because it's kind of, it leads into that, and it's not a thing. Like, they don't acknowledge it, but they brew it and they sell it, and it is delicious.
Wow.
And it's not small batches they're making. It's just there's a lot of old men who drink a lot of it.
It's only 4%. I want it.
Where can you recommend any pubs that do it for sure? Are they all Hartlepool, like northeast kind of area?
Yeah, like any workmen's clubs will have one of I think it's three, like, of these brands. So there's Tetley's Imperial, John Smith's Magnet, and Worthington's Ale, which is not to be confused with their, like, cream floor beer. It's called Worthington's Ale.
This is extraordinary inside info.
It's like finding out, like, discovering, you know, in Stranger Things when they go to the Upside Down.
It's like the downloadable content, the DLC of pub. No one knows. This is all happening in the northeast of England, where you get these, like, giant pint glasses.
Yeah.
That, like, you struggle to fit your hand, like, fully around, like, halfway around.
Oh, God.
And you drink this brown kind of nourishing liquid.
And you press a button and it comes out like a cup of soup from a vending machine.
Pretty much, yeah. You just push the button and half a pint comes out.
Oh, this sounds amazing.
It's just nice and comforting. And, like, I've got friends who are my age in the 20s and they're all drinking it. And there's blokes that have been drinking it the whole lives. And if they took it out, they'd kick off. So as long as it's being drunk, I guess John Smith's are commissioning Cameron's to make it, and it gets sold in the Northeast, which is, I don't know, it's interesting to me. It's nice, and it's a delicious beer.
Are you tempted to try and recreate that style of beer with Don Zocco?
I thought about brewing like a banked beer, a bit like the original one is a beer called Cameron's Strong Arm, which is a red ale, which is always banked. But I don't know. I like just doing what I do and keeping that separate, like work and play. Because I'd brew it and realize I'm not as good at brewing as John Smith. That would cut me deep.
I went to the pub and I had a drink with my friend. It was really nice. The pub was called The Moon Underwater.
Well, next we move on to your bottles and can choices. And I mean, if your draft choices are anything to go by, this is going to be a revelation.
Well, I like something a bit top shelf for like a Christmas, maybe a Christmas day drink. Maybe it's your birthday. Maybe it's a nice evening. You've had a lovely evening. You want something a bit different, a bit special. And I've chosen Frederiksdal Cherry Wine Rancio. So there's like an island area of like off Denmark called where there's a producer called Frederiksdal, and they grow these small sour cherries and they press them and make wine out of them. And the regular wine is delicious. It smells like almonds and kind of pie crusts and like a cherry pie in a glass. But they do like a rare version called Rancio, which means rancid. So they get this cherry wine, they put it in like glass bottles of about 20 liters, put it outside, and like leave it for 2 years, just like open.
You're joking.
It like, I guess it freezes during the winter and then like it gets snowed on. Like it just does its business outside, and then they bring it in, put it in a barrel for a bit, and then they bottle it.
What if animals crawl into it? Just
I think they're like loosely balanced. I've tried to look on like Google Maps,
right?
This field, yeah, of like glass bottles, and they have like an upside down cup put over the top, so it's not sealed, like air can get in, but it's like no birds can drop things in it. And I don't know what magic, what alchemy happens when it's put on this Danish island, but it gets flavors of like rosemary, like port, like sweet kind of leather armchair. It becomes like a completely different drink, and it is, I think, one of the world's best beverages.
So does it start from a kind of sour note and then become more complex, or does it get more sour?
It's still quite sweet.
Okay.
But there is like a Morello cherry sort of sourness, a bit like, not like eating cherries off a tree, more like a Morello cherry kind of pie filling.
Mm.
And it gets, yeah, it's I don't know, it's like cherry bee's granddad.
I want to try this so much. Yeah. I love cherry wine.
I'm going to a festival in Manchester at the end of the weekend called Indie Man Festival, and they're there. And that, if they don't bring it, I'm gonna be writing letters because it is so good. I've got a few bottles stashed away. I usually open one on Christmas because it goes like, it's a bit like drinking cranberry sauce. If that cranberry sauce was like aged in a mahogany cabinet,
yeah. What kind of ABV are we talking? Does it get stronger?
I'm unsure. It's pretty strong.
It's 15%, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty boozy, but it's also very expensive for a beverage of that kind of ABV. But it is amazing.
Yeah.
So that's on the top shelf. I want a little nip of that sometimes.
Frederiksdal Rancio Vin auf Kirsebier for its full title. It comes in half liter bottles, 15% by volume. Oh, man, I'm going to have to get ordering. I want to try that with the John Smith's Magnet.
I bet if you mix them both together, it would be like a Black Forest Gallo sort of vibe.
Yeah. I like the idea of it kind of, it becomes more expensive and valuable the longer you leave it out in a field. you know, like kind of, I suppose, like detectorist stuff, you know, like looking for treasure. I was trying to think of something else that, you know, accrues value the longer it's lying in a field.
I mean, I might just put a crate of my cans outside and just open them all.
Yeah. John Smith's. That's how you get Magnet.
And what's your second bottle or can, Reese?
So it's something I tried 2 days ago for the first time.
Hot off the press.
It's been some real impression on me. It's something I tried in Galway. I don't know if it's Galway specific. I don't know if it's Ireland specific. It's called West Coast Cooler.
Mm.
And it's like a wine-based 4% ABV alcopop sort of drink. But it tastes like specifically Haribo Jelly Babies.
Really?
I couldn't stop drinking it. I tried some, I thought, this is nice and refreshing. It was a kind of a warm day. And it was just, I don't know. Some of my head was like, this is the best thing you've ever tried. And I will never make his drink as good as that. It's like when I drink Dr. Pepper, I think, yeah, I mean, I can't make that. I wouldn't know where to start.
It's very luminous in the bottles.
Wow.
It's a mixture of white wine, sparkling water, pineapple, grapefruit, and passion fruit flavors. But you can also get it in a rosé bottle, which is rosé wine, sparkling water, blackcurrant, cranberry, and passion fruit. It looks like... there's been a sort of trend recently. If you go into a big supermarket in the wine section, they have all these bottles of sort of like 6% ABV spritzers. So it'll be like Echo Falls infusions, that kind of thing. It doesn't look a million miles away from that.
I mean, I've tried those things by accident most of the time. I think that's a cheap wine for cooking.
Yeah.
And I open it and it smells like I just walked into like someone's vaping in my face.
I am slightly suspicious, Reese, that you may have stumbled across something which is perhaps quite popular amongst teenagers in parks.
Okay.
But without those connotations, you've just enjoyed it for what it is.
Well, this sounds really up your alley, John, doesn't it? It's got to sound very sweet.
But it was delicious. And maybe it was just the time and place it was in. But if it always tastes like that, in my head it does, because I've only tried it once. It's amazing. I don't want to try it again in case it gets ruined.
I'm just trying. So it's about £7 a bottle, sort of wine. You can also get it in boxes. And it is 4%. Wow. Well, I'm going to have to buy so much because I'm so interested by all of these. Would you go for the original or the rosé?
I'd probably go the original, the green bottle, because that's the only one I can vouch for.
Okay.
But it is definitely like a Haribo Jelly Babies, very sweet, very fizzy, sort of good time beverage, I'd say.
Does it kind of have a ciderish quality?
Yeah, it's more like a sweet white wine spritzer,
right?
But you could definitely drink it in the time you would drink a cider.
God, it sounds fantastic.
Well, Reese, I have to thank you for expanding our minds with your choices so far. I have to get my mouth around this, which is not easy after a few Guinnesses. The Monkshambacher 5.5%, the Monkshambacher Lager Beer, John Smith's Magnet, the Frederikstow Rancio Auf Kürzer Beer, which is 15%, and the West Coast Cooler, which is 4%. Anyone from Ireland who's experienced the West Coast Cooler, do email John at Moon Under Pod to tell us about its, I'm sure, long history. But right now we take a break to head over to the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz.
Okay, everybody, pens out, eyes down. It's time for the quiz. Played for Zimbabwe, but he was born in South Africa. I know Alaska is bigger. That wasn't the question. Put your phone away. Right, Michael Jackson's Funky Monkey have been deducted 5 points. Thanks, John, and welcome to the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz this week. It's a music round again. You have to guess the band or artist based on the first three albums that they released. For example, License to Ill, Paul's Boutique, Check Your Head. That's the Beastie Boys, my friend. So do you understand the criteria here? I'm going to say the three albums, and you have to work out which band or artist it is.
Yeah, love it, love it.
Right, so three questions, and we'll do the answers in part two. So question one, debut, post, and homogenic. Debut, post, and homogenic. That's the first one. Question two, please, actually, introspective. That's the second one. Please, actually, and introspective. And question three is permission to land, one-way ticket to hell and back. And hotcakes. So that's permission to land, one-way ticket to hell and back, and hotcakes. So those are your three questions.
Superb pub quiz from the lovely Robin there. So we end part one of Rhys Hugill's Dream Pub. We'll be back with you very shortly for part two. But don't forget to head to moonunderpod.com to find out how you can support this podcast through Patreon and access all kinds of special treats and surprises, including the bonus podcast, Behind the Cellar Door.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.